Welcome to this little show called Blind Like Me. My name is Phil Parr. In case you had wondered, you probably hadn't, but in case you had, I need to know myself what my name is. Anyway, it's another Blind Like Me, and we're going to do cooking today with Dale Campbell. More about that in just a second. Let me mention Blind Like Me. We have an email address set up, and it is simply blindlikeme, lowercase, all one word, blindlikeme at T as in Tom, X for X as in X-ray, U as in United, TXUcom, blindlikeme at TXUcom.net. That's blindlikeme at TXUcom.net. Did I make that abundantly clear? I would think so. Anyway, good to have you with us, and we hope you'll stay for the duration of the program and get something to write with. If you can see, write with a pen. If you can, get a Braille note or a tablet and stylus or something, a Braille writer or a little recorder, because you're going to want to record these recipes. Dale Campbell does a fantastic job. But the reason for the, I'm just jumping around from place to place today here, aren't I? Anyway, the reason for the email address is so that if you know somebody who you think would make a good guest for our show, or you would like to be a guest on the show, we hope you will email us and give us your contact information, your phone number, and what times you are around this phone, and when we can call you and set you up and line you up as a guest. We're not looking for blind people who have done exceptional things. We're looking for blind people who are dealing with blindness, who are able to cope with the inconvenience of blindness and have a good life. Whether you work or don't work, or whether you have children or don't have children, that is immaterial to us. We're not concerned with that, and we're concerned mostly with the fact that you're able to deal with this thing we call blindness or the blind experience or whatever. So email us, blindlikeme at txucom.net. Let's get to cooking today with Dale Campbell. What do you think? Huh?
Hi there, Blind Like Me. We're going to do a cooking show. We talked to several people about doing it. Actually, we only talked to one person. The person we talked to is Dale Campbell. Hi, Dale.
How you doing, Phil?
I'm good. Now I got my little timer going. Dale, we're going to talk about cooking, and you're going to do a complete meal each show, you think?
Yeah, yes, sir. We've got what we've got on the plate for today. We've got an oven-fried honey-baked chicken. We've got a broccoli salad. And we've also got a Mexican or Southwest corn. And we have a little dessert on the side if we have time for that. But I've got my two assistants in here, my daughter, Skylar.
Okay.
Hello.
Hi, Skylar.
Stephanie.
Can they hear us? I guess they can't hear
us. No, they can't hear us. I'm wired in, but they're not. But they're my assistants. We've got everything set up.
Uh-huh.
What we can do is kind of run through the recipes.
Okay.
And then we'll get going so everybody can get their pens out. Dial.
Somebody.
But, we're ready to go. Now, these recipes will be on the website, blindmysmart.com. Anybody wants to go on and copy them off, please do.
All right.
And also, they can email any comments or any recipes to me at cookinginthedark@houston.rr.com. Now, the first recipe we'll be doing is the oven-baked chicken.
All right.
And it's a real simple recipe. What you'll need is just 4 to 6 boneless, skinless chicken breasts, about a half a cup of honey, about 2 or 3 tablespoons of red wine vinegar, and breadcrumbs. And that's all we need for it. For the broccoli salad, we're going to need, it's called broccoli coleslaw. It's actually coleslaw that has broccoli ground up or grated up in it as well. And you're also going to need some cheese. And what we've got today is sharp cheddar cheese and mozzarella cheese.
Yeah.
Some sunflower seeds, which we found they're called sunflower kernels because there's no shell in them.
Uh-huh.
And this new stuff that's out, it's made by French's. It's a Gourmet-O mayonnaise, which is actually a horseradish mayonnaise. And then also for the broccoli salad, we'll need some bacon, just about 7 or 8 pieces of it, you know, already fried up.
Horseradish mayonnaise.
Yeah. Now, they also have a mayonnaise with sun-dried tomatoes in it, and another one that's kind of like a Southwestern that seems to have some type of a salsa mixed in with it.
And who makes these? French's?
It's made by French's.
Man, it's got to be good then.
Yeah,
you know?
It's got to be great. We just kind of heard about it. And in fact, when we went to the store, we had to go to 2 stores to find it. What we're doing right now is while the bacon's going, I guess the last thing, let me talk about the Mexican corn real fast.
Okay.
It's a real simple recipe also. It takes 2 cans of sweet corn, which are 15 ounces. It also takes 1 bell pepper diced. And, you know, to dice, you just simply cut it up into small squares, if you will, about the size of the corn. It takes some green onion, and then it also takes, from the green onion, you'll also need 1/2 a stick of butter, and about 3 cloves of garlic, and then also some diced green chilies, and that's a 4-ounce can of those.
Which you can buy, you don't have to dice, you can just buy those.
Right, they come, that's one thing about cooking, it's not that hard, we just make it simple on ourselves.
Now, dicing, when you're cutting up, you say, was it a bell pepper? What is that you were going to dice there?
Yeah, bell pepper.
How do you do that? Do you just
what
lay
I did
it on
was I took it, washed it, cut it in half, and then washed it again once I got it cut in half, and got all the seeds and everything out of it. Then I cut it into, I guess if you will, strips, and then cut the strips down into squares.
Into square. But you can put those strips in a bowl and just start hacking and do a whole lot of damage.
Or what I did, I took like 5 or 6 of them at a time when they were, in strips on the cutting board and just
and kaboom.
Chopped them down the same way. The green, the green, you know, the green peppers, the red peppers, they all cut up pretty easily.
But you want the seeds out. You want them gone.
Yeah, get those seeds out of there.
Okay.
They'll get in your teeth, kind of.
I guess so. That's true. I hadn't thought about that.
All right. What we're going to do right now is I'm going to throw the honey into a bowl. I've already put the breadcrumbs in a bowl. They're waiting for the chicken breast. So you want to throw in it's about 1/2 cup of honey. Now, one thing on this recipe, it calls for about 1/4 cup of olive oil to be spread onto the cookie sheet or the baking pan over foil. So you want to put foil down on the baking pan, then put the olive oil on.
Now, this is the thing we're going to bake the chicken.
Yeah, that's what we're going to bake the chicken in.
Okay.
Spread the olive oil out, and this will actually help it cook the breadcrumbs on the bottom.
Yeah.
Now, you want to preheat your oven to 375.
Okay.
I've thrown the honey in, and you know what, blind people, we're looking for the wine, the red wine vinegar. Here it is.
Now, do you have it labeled, or you just happen to know where it is?
I just knew where it was.
Yeah.
It's kind of cool, the bottle on it. The top, it's almost like a little cork top that pops out, so you kind of know immediately where it is.
So you would have nothing else in your kitchen that would look like that. So
Right. The kind of the bottle, and it's kind of like, you know, I guess after you... I buy the same stuff over and over again if I'm using certain spices or whatnot, simply for that one reason that you get used to the way the bottle feels.
Now,
okay, so here we go. Now, you're taking the chicken breast, and when you line these up, kind of line up your bowls next to each other so you can go straight from the honey mixture. And the honey mixture, it'll be kind of not as thick as the honey by itself, but a little thinner, but not real watering.
All right, now I'm lost. Where are the breadcrumbs? We're not to those yet.
Not yet.
Okay.
Yeah. What we're going to do is basically just kind of roll the chicken breast in the honey mixture, the honey and red wine vinegar.
That's the first thing. Okay.
First step, and then we take it directly from there and put it in the breadcrumbs.
And the honey stuff will make the breadcrumbs stick to it.
Right.
Okay.
And then from there, we throw it on the put it right on the old cooking pan.
And
I've got my pan here ready, and it's got foil and the oil on it.
And we're preheated oven.
Yeah, the oven you need to preheat to 375, and it's warming up.
And a lot of times with an oven, it is almost impossible for a blind. You don't know where you are. But if you figure that you take the knob, if it's pointed one way when it's off and one way when it's on, then you know halfway is going to be about 250.
Yeah.
So if you go from there, like I can get, you know, very close by just using that, because the oven, most ovens go up to 500 degrees. So,
right.
You know, half the turn of the knob is going to be 250. If you want
one little trick I learned was to, I had mine marked at 350 and at 425.
Okay.
So it seems like those are the two temperatures that seem to, you know, most things get cooked at around there. And And again, if you know something's at 375 or 400, yeah, you know it's in between there somewhere.
And nobody gets it exact. If it's to cook at 375, if you get 360 or 385,
right. And
there's
even
not,
if you're,
you know,
your setting, even if your dial's right on 350, it may not be, you know, the oven may not be cooking right at 350 exactly either. So you just check it and go.
Don't really worry about that.
One thing with chicken, it's really nice and easy. You take it, you'll take it while it's raw. And stick a fork in it. You know, it's not done. Don't put a fork in it anyway. Bad joke, I guess. But stick a fork in it. You can kind of see how difficult it is to get the fork to go through
mm-hmm.
the chicken. But when chicken is done, you know, the fork slides in and out pretty easily.
Very easily. And the only thing bad about, thing about chicken is if you overcook it, it'll dry out pretty.
Ooh, yeah, you know if you overcooked it, because it is, yeah.
Pretty quick. I'd rather
yeah.
be undercooked than overcooked. I tell you what, let's do. We're at about 10 minutes, and so let's take a little quick minute break and
okay.
allow you to slide your chicken in the oven. And we'll be back in just a minute with more Blind Like Me.
You'll probably never need titillating tidbits to make you think on the blind side. Here's Don Patterson.
You know, as an historian, there's nothing any more fascinating to me than an old cemetery or a museum anywhere. And if you're planning a trip to Louisville, Kentucky, on the premises of the American Printing House for the Blind is one of the best. It's called the Marie and Eugene Callahan Museum, and it's in a part of their wing of the printing house, I believe, that was constructed in 1883, maybe to be precise. The museum boasts a collection of artifacts that is really highlights the history of blind, of educating the blind in this country. It goes back for many years. They have on display some of the first books embossed. They also have a whole section dedicated to their talking book program, which began in 1938. The museum also has several interactive parts where you can actually, the patrons can go in and examine firsthand some of these. I think some of these may have been reproduced from the originals, tactile old graphics. They have a substantial collection of Braille embossers, old printing equipment, as well as Braille writers. There is also an interesting part of the museum. They have, I think maybe it's up to four now, four divisions that travel. And these museums, I think, tour or either go to where people ask them to come, maybe civic organizations or institutional education somewhat. And they have numbers that you can call, phone numbers that you can call and make arrangements and find out where they are and what available dates. I've never been to Louisville, but I plan to take this trip. If you know, you can't be a member of the blind community and have never heard of the American Printing House, and this museum would just be a neat little sidelight. Key words for this subject are Callahan Museum or American Printing House for the Blind. Go online and give it a read. And that's this week's Look on the Blind Side. I'm Don Patterson.
On the Blind Side, answering questions nobody asks.
With Dale Campbell, and we're cooking. Well, tell us, go ahead, run through it again. Tell us what we're cooking to. Somebody tuned in late, okay?
Okay, the first thing we've done is we've got our bacon done, and we're doing a honey baked chicken. We're also doing a broccoli salad and a Mexican corn. Now, you know, one of the reasons I chose to do this, because, of course, the chicken's in the oven.
It is now, in the oven.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. And the broccoli salad is kind of a cold salad, so it doesn't really require any cooking, which, hey, that's my favorite way to go right there.
Now, how long does this chicken take?
The chicken will take about 30 minutes.
So we should be through by the time, maybe by the time we're off here, right?
Yes. We're going to be working on is going to be the broccoli salad. Because the corn will take about 10 minutes or so to prepare. So I figure we'll whip out the broccoli salad real fast. And then when we get done with it,
you'll put it in the fridge.
We'll put it in the fridge. The chicken is chickening.
Uh-huh. Chicken is cooking. And you've set a timer. Are you going to let one of those assistants watch?
While you're talking, I'm glad you said something.
Are you going to set a timer?
I totally forgot to set that little timer.
Because I didn't hear you do that. And now these, I don't know which one you use, but they're, unless I miss my guess, I think Radio Shack still makes these. If not, they're in every blind catalog that you find.
Yeah, and that's the one I use, the one, the old tick, 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 ticker, you know, that has the little braille dots on it going. And what I've done right now, we've got the broccoli coleslaw put in a bowl. Now, if you can't find broccoli coleslaw in your store, buy a bag of coleslaw, and then the broccoli, you'll buy a fresh head of broccoli, and you want to break off the little bulbs or the actual cloves of the broccoli.
Uh-huh.
Then you can use the stalk and the stems and a grater or a food processor if you have to grate those down, and there's your broccoli for your coleslaw. That's all they do when they mix this stuff.
And so you would just mix it in with the coleslaw. So bingo, you got broccoli coleslaw.
And then you got your broccoli slaw, as we call it.
So you're making that now. Are you going to grade your own, or did you buy this?
Oh no, I bought it. I'm lazy.
Well, I don't. You know, if you
I believe in cooking easy, you know.
Well, sure.
I guess that's from the old fraternity days. We had the saying, if it takes longer to cook it than it does to eat it, we'll pass.
We'll pass.
So I've got the coleslaw in a bowl, and we've added the broccoli heads, and I've just added the gourmet mayonnaise. So basically now we're just kind of mixing it all up.
Are we? Let's see. We've got coleslaw ready.
We've got the coleslaw mixed up. Now we're fixing to, I've got it pretty well mixed all up. Now we're going to add in the sunflower seeds.
Uh-huh.
And then we're also going to add in the cheese. The best part about this slaw is there's not really, if you want to put the whole thing of mayonnaise in with the horseradish like you, since you like it, put it all in. If you like your slaw a little bit drier, just put half of the bottle in. We're going to add the sunflower seeds in.
All right.
Dump those in there nice. We're going to kind of fold those in. And folding really isn't stirring. It's just kind of taking the outside and putting it in the middle. It's just kind of actually folding it over.
So you would take the top layer and maybe move it to the side, then put in what you want, and then put the top layer back on.
Yeah, and then I'm just using my hands, actually. And reaching in inside the bowl, reaching to the bottom, lifting it out, and just letting it fall back on top of itself in the middle of the bowl.
I don't know how sighted people would do that, but for a blind person, that sometimes is the easiest way to do it.
It sure is.
Get your hands in it, you know?
Another one of the great things about being blind, huh? We get away with some of this stuff.
Well, we do.
It's all hands-on for us.
Hands-on, you
okay,
bet.
Okay, now I hear one of my assistants eating the cheese. No, the cheese goes in the bowl.
Cheese goes in the bowl, doesn't
it? Yeah, okay, so if y'all would start adding some of the cheese.
What'd she say?
Oh, with Skylar, she busted herself.
She
How did.
Did
you know I was eating the cheese?
No. We can tell, Skylar.
Yeah,
we know these
we know,
things.
We know.
You
okay,
can't.
So they're going to add the cheese in.
All right.
Just put in a couple handfuls.
So this is great.
We bought pre-shredded or pre-grated, if you will, 8-ounce packages. We put it in a bowl just so we could have it, you know, have it easily accessible.
Uh-huh.
And whatever we don't use, we'll put back in a Ziploc and put it back in the refrigerator.
Yeah, it's good on spaghetti. It's good on lots of things.
Oh, you know? Yeah. We find cheese for everything. Okay, that's good, y'all. Really, I think you could play with this. I mean, if you wanted to add some onion to it, I think you could. If you wanted to add mushroom, I don't see why you couldn't do that.
Is this a recipe you invented, or where did you?
It's from a friend of ours, Lane, and I got it from her when we went down, and they had some ribs and some barbecue down at the pool, and this was one of the things that she had, you know, as an accompaniment, and man, I had one rib and dug into this.
That was it.
Oh, it was really excellent. And, you know, it's kind of a hot day, and, boy, that, you know, the cold. It was just excellent. We're going to add the bacon. So we fried the bacon up in the microwave.
I forgot that.
Was one of the things, I tell you, after my blindness, after the wreck, you know, and lost my sight, I was like, you know, I'm going to fry bacon. I know how to fry bacon. And Yeah. I ended up almost burning my house down doing it. Caught the pan on fire, big grease fire, threw it in the sink, and there was a plastic cup in the sink, and that caught fire, and then the curtains caught fire, and luckily I had one of those little sprayer heads there, you know, so I was able to put the fire out. And then how ironic as it was, the next person that called after all this happened was my insurance agent.
But you were going, you were determined that you were going to fry bacon the way you used to fry bacon when you could
sleep. Yeah, so I decided, you know, doing it in the microwave is not that bad of a deal.
it's just as easy. Now, the only way you can do it, I fry eggs all the time. In fact, I did one this morning. I fried it, I put a lid on the skillet, and it'll fry both sides.
Right,
so you could do that.
But you know, I've heard some people, one tip I got, in fact, from a good friend of mine that's visually impaired, she suggested doing it in the oven.
We've done that.
Lay it in there, and I haven't done that yet.
And it'll work. You need to lay it on something to let the grease drip on
Yeah, kind of a deep pan, I guess. Or that was the thing that I was afraid of, all the grease that might be splattering in there. And
one of those pans that has holes in it that, you know, where it drips down out with. What do they call it? They call them broiler pans.
Yeah, broiler pan. You know, that would work out well. That way the grease would kind of fall down in below it, away from the stuff, and it wouldn't get all.
But the microwave does as good as anything, you know?
The microwave does it really well. And it's kind of hands-free and forget about it. Like, when you call, that's when we started the bacon and, you know, put it on. You know, every microwave is a little bit different, so you got to kind of get to know your microwave, how it'll do the bacon, or how long it'll take to get it to the crispiness that you like it.
Well, and they make several different kinds. I have a bacon cooker that I bought that bacon hangs on. It has six little spikes around the edge.
Oh, all right.
And you hang the slice of bacon across, and of course, and all the grease ends up down in the bottom of this big jar.
Right.
Those are made by pottery. I had a friend that did arts and crafts, and he found some of those at his show, so I bought two or three of those. Then they make the kind that lays down, and you just lay the slices on, and it's got a grease trough on one end.
Yeah, now that's the kind I have. I've learned, my uncle taught me that I usually lay like two or three paper towels down on the bottom.
Sure.
And then cover it, and it seems like those paper towels really soak up the grease, so there's not even much grease down in the bottom there.
Well, you've got to cover that bacon cooker, that one that you lay flat in the microwave, with a paper towel. If you don't, you're going to have
talk about a mess.
Well, your microwave is going to be real messy.
It'll
but
sure
they'll cook. They're slow. You can cook about six slices at a time. But is that you?
Yeah, that was me. That?
But they'll work, and bacon in the microwave, so, you know, I can now cook bacon and eggs, which I couldn't do for years.
Have you tried microwave eggs?
I have not.
I've done that with taking a couple, busting them in a bowl, and make sure you break the yolk.
Because if you don't, it'll break it.
Oh, boy, if you don't, you'll know it. There'll be one heck of a little explosion.
Yeah, I've done that.
But, break the yolks up and just kind of, like, scramble them. Uh-huh. And, you know, throw them in the microwave for about a minute and a half, and, boy, they come out excellent.
Well, you know, I used to, on fry eggs, I'd fry them one at a time, and somebody pointed out to me, Phil, if you're going to eat two eggs, why not just put them both in the skillet, put a lid on it, don't worry about it. And he's right, you know.
Right, that's right.
So I fried one this morning. We had pork chops last night. I fried one, made me a little sandwich this morning.
All right.
It was very good.
Now, where, those pork chops either.
Where are we here? We've got salad cooling?
The broccoli salad is done.
All right.
And my assistant's going to put it in the refrigerator.
Okay.
And we're getting ready to do the Mexican corn. You want to put in a large skillet on your stovetop. I'm turning the burner on to about medium. And what I found with skillets and cooking, I like to try to find them that are pretty high-sided, I guess, that are pretty deep.
Yeah, and they make them now.
I was making tacos one time, and golly, when I got done browning my meat, I only ended up with enough meat for two tacos. It started out with a pound and a half.
You were mixing onions and your meat together, browning it for whatever, spaghetti or tacos or what,
I ended up, you know, as I was browning it, I ended up flipping most of it out of the pan.
They make a big high-side skillet. I've got a couple of them.
Yeah, I tell you, I've got one. It's actually, I think it was actually a chicken fryer is what it was denoted as.
Yeah.
But, boy, it sure is nice.
They look like a wok, except that they don't come down to as sharp a thing on the bottom. They're just high side. And Walmart, you know, will have those if you and they're easy if you're gonna do meat, like ground meat and onions together for tacos or for whatever, because your chances of slinging it out all over the place are a whole lot less.
Yes. Makes it so much simpler.
Yeah.
So what I've got done, I've taken a half a stick of butter, which is a quarter cup of butter. Every stick of butter is a half a cup.
Really?
And I've thrown it into the skillet, and basically I'm just kind of letting it melt down.
And you've got the skillet on about medium.
Yeah, on about medium heat.
All right.
What I'll do once the butter melts down is actually throw in the bell pepper and the sliced garlic. It called for three cloves of sliced garlic. which a clove of garlic is actually just the little pieces that you break off. It's not the whole great big bundle that you buy.
Clove is the little piece that you break off.
Yeah, you buy it. When you buy buy garlic, it comes in kind of a big clump.
Mm-hmm.
And then the cloves are actually the little pieces that break off, and they're about the size of your fingertip.
And that's considered a clove.
That's considered a clove.
Well, I did not know that. I learned that the hard way. I would have put a lot of garlic in.
I called for six cloves. I bought six of those big old bundles, and goodness gracious.
I would have put a lot of garlic in something.
We're going to have vampires coming around here for a long time.
You're going to saute some onions and bell peppers and garlic together.
Yeah, so the garlic's in. The bell peppers will be in there. And I went ahead, and the recipe didn't call for it, but I really like sauteed onions as well.
I put onions in everything I eat.
Yeah.
A lot of people don't like onions, but man, my grandchildren won't eat them, but they don't know they eat them a lot of times. Now,
they don't know it's in there. They can't complain about it, right?
When you're doing this sauteing, and you, this is really a simple thing for a blind person to do. What do you use as a stirring implement?
I use a wooden spoon.
A wooden spoon.
Yeah, and that's one thing you need to be careful of. If you need to know what your skillet's made out of, if it's Teflon or this, whatever the coating is on it. Thank you.
You do need to know that, because if you use a metal spatula on a Teflon skillet, you're going to mess it up eventually.
Yeah, you will ruin it.
And wooden stuff works, of course. I don't like plastic spatulas because they're so soft I can't tell where I am and what I'm doing, but the wooden ones work fine.
The wooden ones work great. And sometimes you can find, I've got a couple here that are like a heavy plastic or a heavy nylon.
Yeah.
You know, with spatulas that I really enjoy. And then I've got then of course there's a couple of those other ones lurking around here that are, like you spoke of, they couldn't flip a feather once they get warm or soft.
Yeah, I don't know why they make those. I don't know who would use those.
I don't either.
They'd be good for stirring things, but for sauteing.
Yeah, that's about it.
Basically,
they sure
in sauteing,
good for flipping.
You want to move this stuff around. I mean, you want to make sure that not only one side gets browned, but that it all. So you have to do some gentle maneuvering or moving around, right?
Yeah, exactly. And that's what I'm doing now. I'm just kind of stirring from. Actually, I'm just kind of taking from the outside of the pan and in kind of like a circle, moving it to the middle and back out to the outside of the pan.
Okay.
So that kind of flips. Since I've got the burner on medium heat, it kind of heats up the middle of the burner. I'm cooking on an electric stove. And that way it kind of moves the food in and out of the high heat back to the lower heat of the pan and just keeps moving it around it doesn't burn and get all nasty and stick to the pan and all that stuff. Okay, now I'm going to go ahead and open the corn up and the green chilies.
All right.
And I've got two 15-ounce cans of whole kernel corn.
Now,
we've got one of those, I guess it's the Presto, the under-counter can opener, and I really like that. It takes a little bit of practice to line up that can.
You mean you're talking about the one that hangs under the counter?
Yeah, once it gets there, though, once it gets a hold of the can, it holds it.
Even when it gets done...
The can is open.
So two
cans. It also has an attachment on the bottom of it, not yet, that allows it to, like, open jars and lids.
I mean,
and it also has another little gizmo on it, on the front of it, that allows you to open bags. It has, like, a little razor blade attachment hidden in there, and you can just run a bag through it, and it opens it right up.
Well, I might have to have a new can opener. Mine doesn't do jars. I've got a thing for jars, but my can opener doesn't have one.
Yeah, this has got like, actually kind of feels like a saw blade, if you will. You know, underneath it, it's just a piece of metal with teeth on it.
Yeah, and it catches the lid of the jar.
Yeah, it catches the lid of the jar and, twists that, opens that baby right up. So it's great, especially if you're cooking and, you know, your hands are a little bit wet or they're greasy or oily or anything.
Or you've got that jelly jar that's got jelly around the top you just can't, you know, that it won't come open.
Right?
You're used to it.
Now the peppers and the onions are really nice and soft. The garlic, you can kind of smell it going. So what we're going to do now is put in the corn and the green chilies. And again, it's two 15-ounce cans of corn. And it's a 4-ounce can of diced green chilies.
So you people like everything on the warm side.
And, you know, one thing with this, when I was thinking about this recipe, the horseradish, you know, in the coleslaw isn't so much that it's really hot, but it just gives it a nice flavor. You know,
corn's going to be pretty warm.
Great mayonnaise.
That corn's going to be pretty warm with those green chilies. I mean,
it'll be nice. Southwestern Corn Medley, I believe, is the name of this recipe.
All right. I'll tell you, while we're stirring and mixing here, let's take just a little quick break and do something else and be back to with Dale Campbell and cooking in just a second.
A website our crack research team certifies screen reader friendly. Now with this week's Blindsight, here's Don Shaw.
If you grew up listening to Top 40 Radio, I have got a website that's going to bring back some memories. Whether you grew up listening in the 50s, 60s, 70s, or even in the 80s, you need to go to the Radio Air Check Museum. Go to www.reelradio.com. It's got all your favorite disc jockeys from the major cities around the United States, such as the real Don Steele. I grew up listening to Russ Knight, the Weird Beard on KILT in Houston. Wolfman Jack is there. The segments range from about 5 minutes to 30 minutes. They'll bring back lots of memories, I guarantee you. The only downfall of this site is it's not screen reader friendly. I would give it a 3. But if you have the patience to navigate around, it is well worthwhile. I'm Don Shaw. Until next time, keep on blind sighting.
If you found a screen reader friendly website you'd like us to mention, send your email to blindlikeme, all one word, at txucom.net. And join us again next time for Blind Sights. Contact information.
The Blind Handyman. Blind Handyman, all lowercase, one word, at hotmail.com. That's Blind Handyman at hotmail.com.
Contact information.
Blind Like Me. Blind Like Me, lowercase, all one word, at txucom.net. That's Blind Like Me at txucom.net.
Contact information.
Blind Handyman listserv. Blind Handyman dash subscribe at yahoogroups.com. That's Blind Handyman dash subscribe at yahoogroups.com.
Contact information.
Blind Handyman at hotmail.com. Blind Like Me at txucom.net. Blind Handyman dash subscribe at yahoogroups.com. Email us often and give us your opinion. If you'd like to be a guest on one of our shows, give us your
contact information.
The final segment, we have chicken in the oven. We have coleslaw. What did you call it? You called it a
broccoli salad, or I call it a broccoslaw.
Broccoslaw. We have that chilling in the fridge. And chicken, we should have, what, about 5 minutes, 10 minutes? How long?
Let's see what the old timer is.
The old chicken timer. Huh?
Yeah, we've got about 10 minutes left on it.
10 minutes left on the chicken, and we have diced peppers and onions and garlic in a skillet, sautéed them.
Right.
And we've dumped in 2 cans of corn and 2 cans of green chilies.
Just 1 can of green chilies.
Whoa, 1 can of green chilies.
And it's sitting there nicely. Now, one extra to this recipe, if people want, if depending, again, on the temperature you like your food, it calls for about 1 to 2 tablespoons of hot sauce. And that we are not going to add just simply because my tasters won't taste it, they told me, if we put the hot sauce in. But it would be a good little thing to put on the side. Now, when we were down in St. Croix, we ran across some West Indies hot sauce that, instead of being a tomato base, is a mustard base.
Yeah.
And Brother, is it hot?
I bet I'd love it.
Oh, it is, yeah. I'm sure we'll have some left over the next blind weekend. I'll have to tote along.
Have to bring that along. So, but you're going to leave out the spoon of hot, a couple spoons of hot sauce.
Yeah, I'm going to leave out the spoons of the hot sauce, and that'll be something that I'll put on the table. I'll probably add it to mine when we eat, but we'll leave it to the side.
Well, Skyler probably wouldn't like that.
No, neither will Mama.
Now, chicken, we got about 9 minutes left, and this corn here needs to sort of steep for a while.
We're going to turn the, once we got everything mixed in, we're going to turn the heat down to about medium, low.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, one thing I've noticed on electric stoves is it seems like low is always to the left, medium is always at 6 o'clock, straight down on the dial, and, you know, high is always to the right, about 1 o'clock or so. So as far as the positioning goes, we've got our little dial positioned about 7:30, I guess. Medium low, I've got my assistant stirring it, keeping a watchful eye on the corn for us.
Yeah, it would have to be stirred every once in a while. You going to put a lid on it, or are you going
to
just...
Once they kind of get it stirred up, we're going to put a lid on it and turn it on down to a simmer.
And everything should be ready at about the same...
Everything should be ready about the
same period
time.
Of time.
That's what we're planning on.
Now, we're probably not... Well, we might have time. What you said you had we've got chicken, corn, and this coleslaw stuff going, and broccoli coleslaw. And so you had mentioned that you might do a dessert.
The dessert is so quick and easy. This came from my father-in-law. And he told me about it. I was like, man, I've made it like 3 or 4 times and just simply love it. It is outstanding. What it is a, it takes 2 cans of chunked pineapple, 1 can of blueberries, or you can really use any fruits that you want to, and then a white cake mix.
And then what I missed that?
A white cake mix.
A white cake mix, okay.
So what you do is you'll open up the cans of fruit, and you'll want to drain the juice off of them and save it.
Drain it off and save it.
To the side.
Okay.
As I open these up...
Now, let's stop. Hold on just a second. You're going to drain the juice off. Would you pour that through something?
What I'm going to do is just the pineapple has got a pull. Well, it had a pull tab ring.
You just broke the pull tab ring. That's where you have the trusty
can. These weren't made for a man, I guess.
We're
going to use the old can opener on it. What I'll do, you can use a strainer to strain it out if you wanted to.
I just take my hand.
Yeah, what I'm going to do is just hold the lid in place.
Yeah.
And just let the juice pour out.
Yeah.
Then you'll just dump the pineapple and the blueberries right out into the bottom of the pan.
Yeah, I just take my hand and keep and make sure that lid's in place and let the juice come between in a little crack there.
Yeah.
And you don't
that's
need
it.
To save dirtying up a colander. You know.
Oh yeah. Okay. So what we're gonna do? I've got a 13x9 cake pan.
All right. You're pouring the fruit in first?
And I'm pouring in 1 can of pineapple chunks.
All right.
Just kind of spread it around. And, you know, I was asking some friends of mine for some cooking and this, that, and the other, and one lady had a great tip. She goes, keep an open trash can or something near you that you can get rid of, you know, trash when your hands are full.
Yeah.
You know, you don't want to have a lid you've got to open up to get into or anything like that. And I thought, you know, that's been one of the best hints that we've came across.
I've got a triple sink, and I just use, when I'm cooking, I use the right side of the sink just because
right.
The trash thing. Anything I want to get rid of, I put in there, and then I get later. I come back and, you know, pick it up.
Yeah, I tell you, that was one thing I love when we were doing that shrimp up there that day was that sink of yours.
It is a big, nice triple sink. That was my wife's idea. I was have to say I had nothing to do with that.
That was excellent. And I loved how deep it was, you know, Phil?
One side is really
that was,
deep.
Man, I was reaching in the bottom, and I was like, where did this shrimp go? I thought we were going to reach all the way to the floor.
One side is a big old sink, but it is handy to have some way to get rid of things that you don't want, things so you don't clutter up the counter and get rid of trash.
Exactly. Because you need that working space.
Yeah, you do.
And especially, as everybody knows out there, being blind, boy, you always end up knocking this over, knocking that over.
You've got to be careful. You got to
looking around.
That juice, if you save it, you better set it back far somewhere so you...
Yeah, I've got a nice big bowl that I've got it in, and it is out of the way.
So you won't swat it over.
Right. Now I've got the 2 cans of pineapple.
All right.
And getting the can of blueberries here.
Okay.
These are blueberries in a white syrup, so... And really, any fruit. I was looking for cranberries to go in with this as well. So I thought that would be some nice flavor. Just something. We saw canned peaches, and we saw, you know, of course, apples, and goodness gracious, there's just all kinds of canned fruit now.
Yeah, peaches would be. I love peaches.
Peaches would be great, especially with these blueberries.
Yeah, I bought some peaches from this place called Bland Farms the other day, and they came in. I ate two immediately, just big, nice, juicy. Oh, man, they were delicious.
You'll have to buy two dozen just to get a dozen home, huh?
Yeah, I guess so. They brought them in the mail, and I just opened the box and ate a couple. You know,
excellent.
They're delicious.
Boy, you just can't beat fresh fruit.
You can't. And,
okay. Now what we've got going on here, we've got the pineapple and the blueberries kind of all mixed in and spread out throughout the bottom of the pan.
All right.
And now here's the cool step. You take the cake mix. My assistant will grab that for me. All right. Thank you, ma'am. And you just pour the cake mix on top.
Of the fruit.
Yeah. You don't need to mix it. You don't need to do anything. Just pour it in right out of the package dry. And then we'll spread it out evenly over the top of the fruit.
You're just going to use your hands to do that?
Yeah. Or actually, I think I'm going to have my assistant do it for me. But, yeah, you can just use your hands.
If you were there by yourself, just use your hands.
Whatever you need.
Won't hurt a thing.
No, sure won't. Spread it out nice and evenly.
Then one gets to lick one's fingers.
So right.
Because you have nice things.
That is, yeah, the benefits. The benefits just keep them out, don't they?
That's right, or just coming by leaps and bounds of that. Hell, I'm surprised people aren't putting their eyes out, man.
Right.
Absolutely amazing.
Get a dog that you get to take everywhere. And
yeah.
Yeah. I'll tell you, down there on the island, in fact, we stay at this hotel that's on the on a little island off the main island, and dogs aren't allowed on the island because of some endangered lizard. But, you know, Kelsey, my guide dog, is simply because he's a working dog.
And Kelsey wouldn't bother a lizard if,
no,
no matter
Kelsey
what.
Kelsey wouldn't bother a flea.
Kelsey is the, we've commented on that several times, the best behaved dog I've ever seen.
He is just wonderful. He is wonderful. He sure was glad to get back from vacation, though.
I haven't been around too many guide dogs, but Kelsey was a... Kelsey is remarkable. Got to be a one of a kind.
He definitely redefines the word guide dog, doesn't he?
I think they're now the conventional wisdom. They're calling them dog guides now.
Oh, are they?
Yeah, I think somebody, you know, got to be politically correct.
Right. Well, I guess we're affected by that as well.
And we intend to do a program in the future on dog guides. And I've never had a guide dog, so I don't know much about them. It's just something
I tell you, for me, it was it gave me my life back. Got that independence back. Now, the last step in doing this
wonderful
dessert.
We got cake mix in, and what else?
We just take the juice that we've saved, that we've put off to the side, and simply pour it on top of the cake mix. Then after that, once our chicken comes out, we'll put the oven up to about 400 degrees, put our fruit cake, however you want to call it, cake fruit, in the oven for about 30 to 45 minutes. You just test it every now and then as well, just to see. You want the cake to kind of be crusty as it bakes. It'll kind of get a little
so you don't
a little
put a
hard,
top.
Kind of like a cobbler top or something.
You don't put a top on the pan.
No, leave it wide open.
Okay,
put it in and bake it, and that is it.
Our chicken should be getting fairly close to coming out. The corn is she's got a lid on that, and you've got a lid on that.
Yeah, we've got the corn off to the side simmering. It's doing, let's check the corn out. Oh, the corn is doing really nicely. My assistants have already been into the broccoli salad, and they love it.
They've already been eating it?
Yeah, we already had that. They did a little quick taste test before they put it up.
Well, yeah, you want to do that. I would have done the same thing a little.
Sure. Yeah. Cook's blind, he'll never know.
Cook's blind. Well, even if the blind cook knows, I'm amazed the blind cook didn't have a taste.
We can hear those stomachs smiling, that's the thing. They don't know that.
That's good for, now Skylar is how old now?
She's nine.
It's amazing that a child that age will eat that sort of thing. See,
yeah, you know, Skylar is fantastic at eating. If she's not sure about it, she will definitely try it. You know, and if she doesn't like it, she'll tell you, and that's great. But she tries it.
It's a problem with so many kids. They won't try things. They won't.
Yeah,
you know.
We made sautéed mushrooms one night, and she wasn't sure about them, but she dug into them. And you know, when we were down in the island, we went to this one little establishment that has probably some of the best calamari, which for those that don't know, is squid.
Yeah.
And, you know, it came to the table. Skylar asked what it was. We said calamari. Well, what's that? We told her it was squid, and we had to order another order of it because we ate most of it.
Yeah, so in St. Croix, did you eat steaks and normal things that you would eat here? Or
yeah, there's a lot of American restaurants there, so there's a lot of American food. They do have, you know, like conch fritters and stuff like that, a lot of seafood. Mahi-mahi is kind of like their junk fish, kind of like our cod or tuna,
yeah,
which I enjoyed every meal of that.
I would.
And then there was a lot of little island favorites, too. You know, we had a potato stuffing that was out of this world, and Johnny cakes and mangoes were in season when we were down there. They were growing like orange trees grow in Florida.
Uh-huh.
So, boy, we had mango everything. That was a delicious fruit, just delicious fruit. So there's a lot of little specialties down there if you know certain restaurants to go to. But, oh, yeah, a lot of Americanized food. There's a huge petroleum plant down there. Hess or Helvina, I believe, is the name of it now.
And everybody speaks English?
Yeah. English is the language down there. It's been held by the Americans since the 60s. The Danes were the ones that settled it. It was just a fantastic trip. It was really neat to see the history and the people. The Crusians do have their own dialect, which is a little bit of English and a little bit of... it's a mix of several languages. So when you get two or three Crusians talking, they talk very fast, and it's kind of difficult to understand them.
Crusians?
Yeah, Crusians are what the natives of the island is called.
Crusians. I did not know that. Now, I guess they have native beer down there? Do you drink?
They do have a brewery down there. It's Blackbeard Ale.
Uh-huh.
But mainly what St. Croix has is a rum factory, a rum distillery. And, hey, the ding just said our chicken is done. But, actually, St. Croix is responsible for, like, 90% of the rum that's made around the world. They can only make so much actual rum in product in their distillery there. And the rest of it, they ship the molasses off in, you know, like, big barrels off to other distilleries.
Uh-huh.
So they actually do Bacardi, you know, which is done in Puerto Rico.
Sure.
So they actually send the base product to them, and then, you know, they distill it and finish the product over there.
But they found some oil down there, so...
Yeah, this refinery, wow, it's really neat. It's, you know, it's almost like being here in Houston, driving past, Pasadena or such, all the refineries, except there's this big, beautiful ocean in the background.
Well, it's a good thing we liked their government, and we had just come in and took it away from them. Oh, you can't say that. Excuse me, I'm sorry.
Yeah, right.
Sorry, my Democrat came, just slipped out. I'm just so sorry. Anyway, you have a condo share, you say, down there.
Yeah, we have a little timeshare down there, so we really enjoy that.
But you could, a person could book a flight. I mean, you could fly down there, spend a few days, and fly home.
Yeah. Well, you know, we stayed an extra week, you know, in the timeshare. And the hotel is called Hotel on the Key.
Yeah.
And the rooms, I think, go for about $80 or so. So it's not that expensive to stay down there.
If you think you might want to go, call a travel agent.
Heck, they're online, hotelonthekey.com. And key is spelled C-A-Y.
Hotel on the Key spelled
American
C-A-Y.
American Airlines flies down. And just get your flight.
All right, chicken. Let's get back to cooking.
Chicken is
coming out.
I've got the chicken out in my hand.
Do you know?
And I'm going to set it down here and see. I'm going to take a fork in it, to coin a phrase.
We did it 30 minutes.
Yeah.
And these were boneless. These were boneless chicken breasts, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They were boneless, skinless. They were about 4 to 6 ounces. Okay, that one. Yeah, I think these are going to need just a little bit more time. Just simply, you can kind of tell when you stick a fork in how easily the fork goes, slides
in and out.
The chicken.
Yeah.
Yeah, that one right there is pretty done. If the chicken is done, it'll
the
go in. And, you know, the fork will slide in and out.
Just go in and out real easy.
I'd say these are going to need about another 10 minutes just to be on the safe side.
Okay, so that's going to delay the dessert, or are you going to put them both in?
Dessert's great. I'm going to go ahead and slide the dessert in. I've got two trays here, two racks, so I'm going to put the dessert in also on the bottom shelf.
You're going to put the dessert on the bottom shelf and the chicken on the top shelf.
I'm going to set my timer.
I would have done it reversed, since you want a little crust on the dessert. You'd be up closer
to that. Yeah, that's a good idea. I think
I'll be up closer to the top element. Just a thought, because you want a little crust on that dessert anyway.
Right.
And,
okay, chicken on the bottom. Put it in the almost done section.
Almost done section, and put the dessert up top. And you can change the temperature or just leave it.
I'm going to leave the temperature right where it is for the time being.
See there?
We're at 375.
What's the difference, you know?
And, and once we get the Once we get the chicken out, I'll go ahead and put the oven up to 400. I'll set my timer just for about 5 or 10 minutes here, so I'll remember the chicken's in there.
Controls on ovens are like thermostats. They, you know, somebody sets it to 75. Well, that doesn't mean that the air conditioner is going to keep it exactly 75 at your house.
Right.
That is just that is something for sighted people to look at and say, oh my, it's 75 in here. Well, may or may not. So
if
the oven.
If you listen to the oven, you can hear it kicking off and on.
That's right.
You can hear it, you know, the power coming, you know, it kicking off and on.
That is correct.
We've got one that'll beep at us. It'll let us know when it's preheated to temperature. It'll give us a little beep to let us know it's up to temperature.
That'd be nice.
Which is pretty nice. And it's digital, which at first I thought, oh boy, that's going to be a mess. But every time you turn the oven on, it comes on to 350. And then we've got, I marked it with some of those wiki sticks, which are just kind of wax-covered pieces of string.
Yeah.
That you can cut to any length, put to any shape. So I've got arrows on the, you know, the temperature up and down, and I've got it, you know, the on and off, you know, or the bake and the off buttons selected on the oven as well.
Now, this oven, every time it comes on at 350, did you say?
350, yeah. So I know then if I know I want to go to 300, every time you push the one of the temperature adjustments, it adjusts it 5 degrees.
So you know, so you'd push it 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 times, and we'd be down to 300. All right. See, those are things you must figure out if you can't see, and you can't, how to do these things.
Yeah, and you know, that's the thing. Just kind of if you're, you know, blind and at home and you want to try this thing, just get somebody, if you can, to kind of help you tune in the settings, teach you kind of the settings and stuff on your stove, and, man, have at it.
All right,
cooking is not hard. It's not a science. It's very easy.
We've got about 3 minutes. Why don't we do this? Why don't we go over the recipes that we did today, and so everybody will kind of know what to go get at the store and cook tonight for supper. All right?
Okay. The first thing we did was the honey fried chicken, oven honey fried chicken, and it entailed about 4 to 6 chicken breasts, half a cup of honey, and about 2 tablespoons of red wine vinegar, and it called for a cup and a half of breadcrumbs, but what I do is just empty the entire container of breadcrumbs out into a bowl, and what I don't use, I pour back into the container and just save them for the next time. So you'll take the other thing was the broccoli salad. And that was a 12-ounce bag of broccoli coleslaw, a head or a bunch of broccoli. And with the head of broccoli, you want to peel off the buds or the little trees, if you will, at the end, and discard the stems. That also used the French's Gourmet-O horseradish mayonnaise. And I ended up using about 3/4 of the little jar or squeeze bottle of it, some sunflower seed kernels, about 7 or 8 strips of bacon, and I think we ended up using about a cup to a cup and a half of sharp cheddar and mozzarella cheeses. The corn that we did was the Southwestern Melody. It was 2 cans of whole kernel sweet corn, a 4-ounce can of diced green chilies, 1 bell pepper diced.
All right.
It calls for about 1/4 cup of green onion and 1/2 stick of butter. And then the hot sauce on it was optional. And the hot sauce was about 2 tablespoons.
Okay.
And again, these recipes will be posted on the website, blindmicemart.com.
That's blindmicemart. That's all one word.
All one word.
.com.
And the mart is like Walmart, except it's blind mice. You won't lose your tail when you shop there.
Blindmicemart.com.
So those will be posted under the Cooking in the Dark link.
Now, you put up a Cooking in the Dark link.
Yes, sir.
For this purpose.
Just for this purpose.
So I guess
what we'll
do
every time, every month when we do a show, we will put the recipes up there.
And if anyone had they wanted to communicate with you and maybe offer some recipes or talk to you about recipes, they could get you by doing this Blind Mice Mart.
Go to Blind Mice Mart, and there's an email link. It's called info@blindmicemart.com. They can catch me there. Or I've also set up a web address, an email address, which is cookinginthedark@houston.rr.com.
Cooking in the Dark at Houston www.rr.com. So we'll talk just a second, okay?
All right.
Dale Campbell, we thank you very much, sir.
You're very welcome. Cooking in the Dark. We'll see y'all next month.
Well, he quit before I thought he was going to there. Cooking in the Dark. It didn't run quite as long as I thought it was going to. If you have a recipe or something that you'd like to get in hold of Dale, Cooking in the Dark at HoustonRR.net. We'll get you in touch with Dale. Let's see. See how much time we've got here. And we're going to try to do one of those every month. And I'm sure all of you blind people eat. It's one thing you don't realize, or sighted people or people who don't know blind people don't realize that we eat. And we usually can't afford to eat out every meal. So a lot of us do home cooking. And if you're one of those who does home cooking and you have some recipes that you'd like to share with us, I mean, what time? Minutes. 11 seconds. Okay, we got just a few seconds. We'll be sure and let us know about the recipe. I didn't realize he was going to go that early. I edited that down. We had more time. I think we got all the information. The chicken, the corn, the broccoli slaw. We got all that stuff done. So we got where we wanted to be. Only the second time I've give me some credit. Anyway, it was fun. Like I said, we're going to do one of those every month and get in touch with Dale. We also need to do Dale's story. Dale lost his eyes in a really freak kind of a car accident, and one minute he could see, and this didn't happen to him gradually. This was a kaboom. Overnight kind of, not even overnight kind of thing. He just, one minute he could, and the next minute he couldn't. I think he was late 20s when this happened. We'll get Dale to tell us his story a little later on Blind Like Me. We're interested very much in stories from blind people, no matter who they are, where they are, what they're doing, as long as they're dealing successfully with this thing that we call blindness, with the blind experience. We maintain, of course, that it's not a handicap. It's just an inconvenience. Sometimes a big inconvenience. But if you have someone you'd like for us to have on Blind Like Me, be sure and email me. That's blindlikeme@txucom.net. Blind Like Me, all one word, lowercase, @txucom.net. You can email us, and we'll have you on the show or whomever. We'd appreciate that. Or you can call me. My home phone number where I am most of the time is 936-634-9500. We have some other things we're going to do with this show as soon as we get rolling and get a little financing, which we're working on right now. I'm Phil Parr, and we'll see you next time. Thanks for listening a whole lot. We'll see you next time on Blind Like Me.